Last week, something extraordinary happened. Andrew Luck, the star quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, 29 years old, on the top of his game, decided to retire. Out of the blue, he hung up his cleats and he called it a day. He did this because he's had a couple serious injuries already in his career. He sprained his shoulder. He lacerated his kidney. He has a partially torn abdominal muscle. He tore cartilage from his rib cage. And he's had at least one serious concussion. And for the last few months, he's been dealing with a lingering calf injury in his right leg that has kept him off the field this preseason. Andrew Luck decided he would rather have his health and spend his life with his family not impacted by the lifelong injuries and ailments of football. So a quarterback that would have commanded top salary walked away from potentially millions of dollars so he could have his health. When he made the announcement, some Colts fans booed him. They got on Twitter and tore him up. What a lame guy walking away like this. Quitter. Their quarterback. Their star. He played his heart out for them. He had literally put his mind and body in danger to play for them, to perform for them at this game, and they booed him for quitting. Now, as a Chiefs fan, knowing we don't have to face him anymore, well, I applauded his decision. You go, Andrew. Go play with your kids. But in all seriousness, it was very disturbing. This young man, this professional athlete, sees the damage and the destruction his profession is wreaking on his body. And he says, you know what? There are more important things in life than this. And he stops. And he walks away. He lays it all down to be at peace, to be at rest, to take care of himself. And some people were appalled. Were angry. They booed him. We have a strange relationship with rest in this country. My wife has been reading a book recently called Super Better. And it's a book about setting life goals and achieving them. And it's an interesting book. One of the things it talked about that she shared with me, the author noted how over the past 40 years, there's been an evolution in our greetings with one another. You used to see someone, and you would say, "Hi, how you doing?" And the typical response you got, in fact, the one that was sort of expected in polite social exchanges, would be, "Good, how are you?" But over the last 40 years or so, the author noted how a new response had crept in and was now being used just as frequently. Someone sees you and says, "Hey, how are you?" And the new response is, "Oh, busy." And those are two very different, polar opposing responses. The first one, "Good," denotes a recognition of something in your life, a recognition of blessing, of thanksgiving. Now, just because I say good, it doesn't mean everything's perfect, right? It doesn't mean everything's peachy, but it is a recognition that despite the flaws and the struggles in my life, I do recognize that for the most part, I'm good. Life is good. It's not perfect, but it's good. And for all my setbacks and worries, there's a lot I'm thankful for. It causes the initiator of the conversation, upon hearing that you are good, to consider that they are good as well. Despite any difficulties that might be brewing in the background, I'm good too. But busy is something else entirely. When someone says, "How are you?" and I say, "Busy," it's a braggadocious comment of how much I have crammed into my life, what with job and family and responsibilities, worries and have-tos and must-shoulds. I don't have time to be blessed or thankful. I am on the go 24/7. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get more done. Accomplish more. Rush and rush until life is no fun because I don't have time for fun because I am busy. This response immediately forces a self-reflection upon the other person in the conversation to inspect the business of their life. Am I as busy as they are? Because if not, I had better get busy. It becomes this weird competition to see who is the busiest, who is running ragged the fastest, whose life is so packed and so full they could not possibly stop to rest for even a second. I had never considered those two responses to the simple phrase, "How are you?" But as I sat back and thought about it, it made eerie sense. We wear busyness in our society like a badge of honor. We admire our exhaustion. Always on the go, we look up to those people able to juggle 90 things at once, take care of their family, work hard, rise up the corporate ladder, make money, who never seem to need to stop or to rest. But when we stop and consider that, is that healthy? Is it good for us? Is that what God wants for us? If someone doesn't regale us with the stories of their constant on-the-go, never a moment to sit lifestyle, do we think less of them? Do we think they're lazy? Do we think they're worthless? Do we think that they are less than? Andrew Luck walked away from football because he didn't want to be in a wheelchair suffering from dementia in his 60s. And people booed him. How dare he rest? Even God rested. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested. He rested. He didn't move on to the next thing on his to-do list. And trust me, God has a pretty full to-do list. He rested. So simple. The work was done. So he took a break. A whole day. He got something to drink. He put his feet up. He leaned back and he did nothing. I want you to picture the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord of all, the creator of the universe, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, sipping on a Coke in his Barca lounger. It's a weird thought, isn't it? God doesn't need rest. God is God. God can go on infinitely and has. He doesn't need to catch his breath. His back is not aching. He doesn't need to rest for a moment. But he did. He rested. Why? Maybe he was showing us what was important. Maybe this was God's message to us. You need to rest sometimes. You need to stop. Sit down and relax. Not all the time, but sometimes you need to rest. So God modeled that behavior for us, gave us an example of what we should be aspiring to. Come to me, Jesus says, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. This scripture from the 11th chapter of Matthew I use quite a bit at graveside services. It's a very comforting piece of scripture for a family whose loved one has been laid to rest. What a phrase. Someone dies, we memorialize their life, we take them to their final resting place, and we bury them or we spread their ashes, and we call it laying them to rest. This moment in their journey when they rejoin with their Father in heaven eternal, reconnect with the divine, and we call it rest. Maybe that has something to do with us reclaiming our creation status. Genesis tells us this morning, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. We were formed by God's hands from the dust, from the dirt, from the ground, from the earth which God had willed into being. We were drawn from this horizontal plane into existence. And when we die, we return to that horizontal plane. We lay down and become one once again with the earth from which we sprang, and we rest. Americans have a strained relationship with rest. Study after study shows we don't take or use all of our vacation time, our sick time, our downtime from work. On average, when compared with our European counterparts, we take significantly less time away from work. We all know that person who retired from their company that they'd been with forever, and they'd accumulated 200 vacation days and 200 sick days that they had never used. They're slapped on the back and congratulated, honored as an exemplary employee because they had quite literally never missed a day of work. They're given a gold watch and sent off into retirement. At my first church, we had a gentleman like that. He retired at 65. He literally had worked every day of his life. His company honored him for that, gave him that gold watch, sent him off. 6 weeks later, I kid you not, he died on the golf course. 6 weeks into retirement. Why do we fear stopping so much? Just for a moment and resting. Why is it so hard for us to just stop and do nothing? To just be for a minute. When we're in rest, we reconnect with God. When we stop and just be, when we let the noise and the ruckus from our busyness pause for just a moment, and we just exist, that's when we hear God. When we feel God's presence, when we recognize God's place in our lives, in this moment, when we stop and be with God, we are refilled, rejuvenated, recharged for our lives. We find our focus, our priorities, our direction again. We ready ourselves for the next work. This is Labor Day weekend, a holiday first created in the late 1800s by labor advocates at a time when workers were working 6 days a week, 70 hours a week, for very little money. They devised this day as a day to stop and recognize the hard work going on and to reward that work with something so simple. Rest. Rest. I hope your Labor Day is a chance to rest. As I say that, I recognize, of course, there are many in our society who don't get tomorrow off. There are many in our society who will get up tomorrow and have to go to work. And I hope our prayers are with them as well, that even though they can't rest tomorrow, that maybe there is a time when they can stop and they can be and they can rest. But I hope your Labor Day is a good one. I hope it's lazy. I hope you get nothing done. Sorry, Alan's finished in his bathroom. Where is he? He scowled when I said that. I hope you get nothing done. His face wrinkled up on me. I hope you sit back and relax for a moment. Grab a cold drink. Gather with friends and family. Kick back in the Barca Lounger. And just rest. Just be. Step back from your hard work and your busy schedule, or from your need to fill every moment with something, and just stop and do nothing. Rest. Don't get me wrong. Work is good. I like working. It's a sense of accomplishment. I'm not dogging on work. It takes care of our financial needs. It is important. But so is rest. It isn't one or the other. It is both in communion. We need rest. It allows us a chance to breathe deep for just a second. It allows us to see our lives, to hear God's voice, to remember that even when we're busy, even when we're rushed, we are blessed, we are thankful, we are good. Amen.